Blog Talk Radio.
Love. This is the female solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Asim Wasapen. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peneo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadet. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia. Assalamu alaikum. And may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Well, we want to talk to you. What's up, y'all? This is Asada of Gathering of the Griots. And for those who don't know, I am the founder of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair. It's about putting black people on stage, baby. Those of us that write, because we got some myths out there, some myths about black people in books. And some people like to say, if you want to hide something from a black person, put it in a book. And I say, malarkey. I don't believe it. There's no way that the people that invented writing are having issues with reading. And so we at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair, we make it lifestyle, baby. That's what we do. We write stories. We tell our own stories according to us. We don't care about people, what they got to say about us. That's their business. But we take responsibility for making sure that our messages get out. And today we are featuring the children's authors of the 2024 Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair. Boop, 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 boop. So that's important because, you know, Mama love the kids, like Martin love the kids, Azada love the kids. So today we are going to be looking at who's out there writing for our children and why, how to come about. And then, hey, you can meet those authors in the flesh at the book fair April 20th. But let's get started. Let me tell you who we got coming on scene. I love her. I love her so much. She's so important to me. Anyway, it's my daughter, baby. Yes, indeed. This is my daughter. She, her first book came out when she was about 7 years old. And I'm bringing her on today because she has done work for children. So let's bring her on. Let me see if I got her. Let me see if I could bring my daughter on. Let me see. Hi, Tayshan. Look, y'all. Look at my daughter. Look what she's doing. Talk about hi. Anyway, my daughter and I worked on a project together. What year was that, Paige? About, I'm not good with years. What would you say? How old were you? How old were you? Were like, y'all look at that picture of her. So you see her there as the little girl. Then you see her there with a, with a little, when I'm grown up, right? So, Pepe, I don't know if you know the background of why you wrote the book, and you want to talk a little bit about that? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I remember wanting a way to make money because I saw people I was surrounded by being wealthy. And that was one of the ways to create wealth is making something for myself to sell. And also I wanted to teach kids my age about traveling through the city and different ways to travel.
Okay, cool. Very good. You listen well. Anyway, let me tell y'all, it was one of those things where, yes, patients wanted money because we were in New York and we were in a location where people, you know, pretty affluent. And I did tell her, you know, she's like, Mom, how do I get this wealth, basically? And I told her, you have to have something that people can exchange, right? And so I was an author at the time. And so what? The idea of making a book was something that she can exchange and, you know, spread with others widely. And the thing about it was, I know I had to do something with photography. I don't know why, like on a picture book level, but I was going to hire this photographer or a photographer to take the picture. And one day I was like, let me just get her to do it, you know. And so showed her how to take the pictures, and so her book actually deals with that. But the subject matter of the book, Paige, do you remember why we chose the subject matter we chose or the format we had?
I really don't remember why we chose travel. But I believe it was just because that's what we did most, and we did a lot of travel on a day-to-day. Yeah,
like New Yorkers? Oh, my gosh. Somebody told me one time, I saw you and your daughter sleeping on the train. I was like, yep, that's about accurate, because we would be knocked out on the train. But at the time, you were in the second grade, right? So she was in the second grade, and they were studying travel, actually, at that time in the second grade. And so, okay, let's focus on that. Because she's right, you know, we did travel a lot. But then it was also about a series. Look, I ain't bringing the I'm guilty. I ain't bringing the books out yet, but they exist. It's a series called Urban Girl Adventures, and it just looks at how a child goes to a city and experiences travel, arts, and what have you. But I did something specific that I do want to show, because we created a webisode for her book. I'm going to talk a little bit about it when we come back, but let's just take a look at what Pepe and her mama created. It is the video version of the book, and so, yeah, we're pretty proud of it. We want you to take a look at it and judge for yourself. Sorry, y'all. Let you know, this is the computer. There we go.
Hey guys, over here, down here. Look at all of these people in cars. This is actually a normal thing day. But getting around a place like this is different than some people use. Oh, come on, let me show you how it's done. I'm at home, and today I'm gonna visit my Maliha. Maliha lives in another borough here in the city. Oh, what's a borough? A borough is a small urban town inside of the city. New York has five of them. They are Manhattan, Brooklyn, the Bronx, Queens, and Staten Island. These are all the boroughs that make up New York City. I live in the borough of Brooklyn, and Maliha lives in the borough of Manhattan. I'm still trying to figure out how I can meet up with her. Our moms are taking us to a child-friendly nail salon to get mani-pedi. That means that we can get our nails all sparkly, smooth, and shiny. We have a 3 o'clock appointment. Now, if we have an appointment, that means that we have to be somewhere on time. Living in the city, we have a lot of options for modes of transportation. Transportation is a way from getting here to there. You can help me figure out the best way to get to Maliha so we can make our appointment. Now, there are about 5 different modes of transportation. First, there's ferry. Ferry is a boat that takes people short distances across small bodies of water. But there's no boat that stops in front of my house or hers, so I guess the ferry is out. Okay, next idea. Oh, look, there's some bikes we can rent right here on the street. Now, let's look at that map again. Now, Maliha is about 19 miles from me. That's about 100,320 feet, and over a body of water. Sounds exhausting. If I have an appointment at 3, and it's already 12 o'clock, then I think I have to go a bit faster than this bike will take me. Plus, I'm not that good anyway. Ooh, that looks like it might work. Well, let's come to the bike. I can take the bus here. This is a New York City bus stop. Oh, wait, look at the numbers before the letters. These letters let you know what borough you're in. B is from Brooklyn and Maliha is in Manhattan. Oh, well, I guess I can't take this bus either. This bus doesn't go to Maliha. Anyway, the city bus can be caught in traffic, too. And time is important today. So how can we get to Maliha? Not by ferry, not by bike. The bus is out, so what's left? Looks like the only thing we could take. It's a taxi or the train. Both a taxi and a train can get me to Maliha fast so we can make our appointment. So what should I do? Let's go see how much a taxi costs. How much does it cost to take a ride from Brooklyn to Harlem?
Well, it goes by the meter, so give or take, maybe
60 bucks. 60 bucks? I'm not going to pay 60 bucks. The train is only $2.75. And Scott, what do you think? Do you want to take the New York City train? Yeah, me too. Let's go.
The train in New York is also called a subway, but it travels underground. And it's not the train in New York.
Got my metro card. Now I'll find my metro card here. Allows me to get into the train station. This is where you wait for the train. And this line tells you when you're too close to the edge of the platform.
This is a good time to call me and let her know we're on our way.
Hey, Paisley.
I'm on my way to you right now.
Really? That's great.
When I get you out, can we get a cab and make our appointment?
Okay. See you soon.
See you soon.
Are you ready to catch gas? We're going to have to exhale a tank if you don't want to stop. Don't pull anything, Lennox, please.
Get rid of that. Yay, Pepe, the baby. Look, she's grown now. She's like this. So, Pepe, do you remember that experience of shooting that video?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what was like a highlight for you? Because it was crazy, y'all. It was really nuts getting it done. What do you remember?
I really remember the, for some reason, it's sticking with me, the mic situation that we had to do. We just put the phone in my shirt, and then that was the mic. But it worked out. So
yeah, it worked out. And I'm telling you, it was so nice and smooth, and it really achieved what we wanted, because teachers have been able to use that video in conjunction with the book, but we want more, y'all. But it was great because the idea of how a young person travels and the city got accomplished. But I was living in Chicago. She happened to be on the East Coast in Connecticut with Grandma. We had to get to New York. The production team, my fellow Scientologists, yeah, they rocked and had everything laid out. And so Patience did not learn a script. Do you remember what you had to do to say that, to do it? What did you have to do?
I had to read the lines like a minute before each scene, so it was kind of chaotic and nerve-wracking, but I did it.
You did it. You did do it. And so it literally, y'all, was like, okay, here's the script. Of course, I wrote the script. Just like in the book, I wrote the words. She did the images, unless she was in it, right? But she would take the script, read it, and then it would be like, action. Hi, we're so-and-so. So, I mean, I want to commend you because you did a very good job, Pepe, for a little booby-booby-boo. Now, just do you have any, can you reminisce on anything, or do you remember anything specific about being young, having a book, being able to, I don't know, be self-sufficient? Do you have any memories at all of that?
I do remember just, like, being able to tell everybody in my class that I had a book.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling a little famous.
I feel a little famous, which is great. I mean, you're talking about, and this is the book, guys, Urban Girl Adventures, not only having a book of being young. One of my favorite stories, y'all, is when we were at this festival, right, and wanted to get some silly string or something. So I was like, I'm not buying no silly string. I don't, what about it? So Patience comfortably said, I just sold 3 books. I want my string. I was like, oh, okay. I don't even know if she remembered that, but she felt and knew I do have my own money. I just sold my book. And so for a mother, being able to empower a young person like that with their own book, having their own story, was just something that set the tone for the future. Now, Pepe, Patience is 20. And she goes to Columbia. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Just tell them a little bit about your profession now and what you do as a business.
I'm a photographer. I mostly do, like, fashion editorial. Right now, that's what I want to do. But you can also book me for whatever you need. Yeah, and that's what I'm doing in school as well. So, fashion photography.
Let's put up your website. Let me get that up. I should have had that up. Patience Photography. Let me see how I know how to spell. Oh, yeah, patiencephotography.com. I'm going to put that up there for you guys because it's so important to help a young person get a skill and then they actually put it out in real life. So if you go to patiencephotography.com, you'll see her work, and it's an extension of this time. We actually found out that we come from a line of photographers, actually. My grandfather, my father, my brother, her uncle. Like, we just see things differently. Beep, 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 beep. We see things in a special way, and I think that's the importance of a photographer. Would you say that your photography now is... Oh, it's okay, or is this a passion, or what would you say about that?
It's only a passion to me. Like, the way I feel about taking photos, or when I visualize something in my head and it comes to fruition,
mm-hmm.
then it just really makes me overjoyed to see what's going on in my head and being in real life. So, yeah, it's definitely a passion.
Cool. And it's good. I mean, we've even had some of the authors from the Soulful Chicago Book Fair utilize Patience to take their images. Tell us a little bit about that work and then what you do during the week with our sponsors, the EO Superheroes.
So, I mean, that work is just like what you can book me for, which is events, headshots, anything really like that. And then during the week, I've been teaching a photo class to 11 to 17-year-olds, and it's basically just an intro to photography and teaching them about lighting and stuff and basics.
I love that. So what we're dealing with, y'all, is, and when you talk about writing for children, you just don't know the impact that you can make when you decide to take your idea and put it into a form that children can embrace. I remember Patience and I being on the trains in New York, and sometimes we would expose children to the books, and the light in their eyes, when they would look at Patience and go, "You wrote a book? You wrote a book?" Like, they would just see it. They would be so excited about the fact that she actually had a physical book that she can share. But then, like I said, in school, it matched with the second grade, not only reading level, because remember, guys, some people, when they write a children's book, I say, "Oh, what age is it for?" And they'd be like, "Oh, it's for all ages." I was like this. Eighth graders are not going to read a kindergarten person's book. So people, don't do that. If you write a children's book, it's not for everybody. It's for a specific age group. And we love making books for younger children. So this book has, like, a sentence per page and then the image that goes with it. So it's like, for what age group, Pepe, did we make it for?
Kindergarten, first grade.
Okay, so, like, kindergarten, first grade. And, yeah, they learn about travel. There will be, I promise, Urban Girls Dine, Urban Girls See City Art, Urban Girls Play, and it just shows how a child in the city does these things, because it is different than just regular life. Most kids that grow up in the suburbs, they get taken to school maybe. They might take a school bus. But when you're in that city, baby, boop, 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 buses, trains. I mean, it's a ton of different things. In New York, If you live in Staten Island, you might take a ferry, you know, to come over to the city and go to school and do things that you need to do. So I guess, Patience, what would you, do you have any advice for children or young people who may have ideas and putting it in a book? Do you have anything that you would say?
Definitely keep your ideas alive. Write them down. Find a way to start doing what you want to do, because starting early is the best choice. Especially when you're young, people like to see young people doing things. So definitely put your ideas out there. And also, I was going to say that even my students, I read to them my book, and they were really excited to see me their age. And they were like, "Miss Patience, is that you?" And then, yeah.
Yeah, that's dope. I mean, I actually teach a podcasting class with Naima Latif and Zelda Robinson that are part of this radio network, The Female Solution. And when those young people saw her webisode, yo, they were like, "That's Miss Patience? Hold on, hold on." Like, it really was like it just excites them. But I think what's dope is that they get to see you can do this. You know, she did this when I think the book came out when you were 7, but the video came out when she was 12. And you're now how old, Pepe?
20.
Ow! Two decades old. So, yes, indeed, guys. She still has her book. It's still growing. And, yeah, take your ideas, not just if you're an adult, but a young person, and you have something to say, say it, you know, and you can put it in the book. You can get your ideas out there, and you can make money. It's as simple as that. And so, Patience, I want to say thank you so much, darling, for coming on today. Yay, mommy's baby, and sacrificing her morning. Because I was going to be getting up this early, but I think it is important, you guys, and the working together, me and my baby are working together to make a project. You parents, if you can make that a reality, make it a reality, because it kind of puts you on a different level playing field when you're creating a project together, and that the young person has a role that they can play in doing it. So I found it to be a great product. There are other mother-daughter teams out there. Let's get it cracking. Let's make it go. So thanks, Pepe. I promise I'm going to bring out the other episodes. Pacer said, Mommy, you've been talking about bringing out these other books for years. I know, guys, I'm going to do it, but who knows? Maybe by the summer we'll have our next book out. But thank you for being here today, little Pepe. I love you. Look, Patience, do that face for that little girl. Let me see. Do it real quick. Come on, do it. Please do that little smile real quick. Just do it real quick. Oh, you play too much. All right, guys, we'll be back and after these messages for more of the children's authors that are going to be at the 2024 Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair. So don't go anywhere. Stay there. We'll be right back after these messages. Soulful Chicago Book Fairs are the most exciting Black book fairs on the planet. Born in July of 2016, Soulful Chicago Book Fairs have both increased the literary marketplace for Black writers and given lovers of Black literature places to find books about the Black experience the world over. The main summer book fair stretches 4 city blocks on 61st Street between Cottage Grove and King Drive. Each block is characterized by its own genre, donning the works of fiction authors, nonfiction authors, and children's authors. The day begins with a procession of elders at Temple Square.
demonstrating the book fair honoring our community elders. The entertainment of the Soulful Chicago Book Fair has been second to none. Audiences traveled to a Grammy-level stage, which has featured musical artists such as Eric Wilmerson. And many of Chicago's multicultural talents. The book fair's community stage sits equidistant on either end and showcases puppet shows, open mic sessions, and author talks for festival goers to enjoy. Aspiring authors have enjoyed the Soulful Chicago Book Fair's lineup of helpful workshops on publishing, writing for children, and legalities of the publishing industry and more. From its exhibitors to its entertainment, its workshops, to its overall power, Soulful Chicago Book Fair will continue to breathe literary life and prosperity into the South Side of Chicago for decades to come.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, and if you're watching this, that means you're one of the 4.6 billion people from around the world who are using an electronic device to talk to people. In these times, people are using the internet to talk to everybody. Friends, neighbors, family members, coworkers. People are on their cell phones and computers all day long. Now, if you're in business, that is great news. That means you can sell your products and services all day long and never have to leave your home. All you need is a media connection, somebody to connect you to an audience. And that's why I'm talking to you today. We produce programs, and our audience members are people who shop. They buy clothes, food, beauty supplies, cleaning supplies, home repair, transportation services, child care services. Whatever you're selling, they need to buy it. We're your media connection. Just follow this link, and tomorrow you can sit back and relax at home while your business is making you money.
All right, guys, we are back. You're looking at this and you have a business. Even if you're an author, you can have a commercial right on the Media Connection. This female solution literally airs every day of the week with a different host. Tuesday is Gathering of the Gills. But you can have your commercial show on our show. You can have it shown on other shows throughout the week. And so, yep, the female solution is your media connection. But we are going to get right into it with our next author. You heard people say, keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. But that's not what we show. But Hope Kyle is a new author, and boy, I love her story. I love her tenacity and her faith. Hope, we love hope, but she got some faith too. Let's just bring that sister on the screen because she got a little backstory to, like, being involved with us and just showing. I didn't know she knew me. Who knew? Let's bring my girl on. How you doing, Hope?
Good morning.
Hold on, girl. We're going to get rid of my daughter. She's gone. Let's just do you. How are you, beautiful? You look wonderful.
Thank you. Good morning.
Hey. Good to see you. So you, thank you. Thank you. We was together last night, child. We was laughing and all that, but we here today to just let it flow. And I want to know, Hope, We're going to talk about your book, Piece of Cake, in just a second. But how did you even connect with the Soulful Chicago Book Fair? And, yeah, where you come from?
Because of you, I was on the bus taking my daughter, who is now six. She was not, she may have been one, maybe, to daycare. And you were on the bus with Patience, who was much younger. She was definitely not 20. And you were talking about, it was the first time you were having the bus there. So you were out passing out on the bus. Everybody, you came to me and you had the book about Stop Beating Our Kids. I remember that. And I'm a new mother, and I would never be there. Now at 6 years old, you definitely, I need those words, and I definitely go back to that book. So I really learned about the Soulful, the book fair through you in CTA. And after that, I brought my daughter to the book fair. It was 90 degrees. Was very little, and we loved it. I mean, when you say it's everything. It's more than a book fair. It's everything. And for Black people on the South Side, we deserve it, and we need more of it. And I love it. I can't actually believe that now I'm actually going to be a part of it as a writer, which is so cool.
That's what we talking about, baby. What? Bring it to the thing. Now, here's the thing, guys. See, my thing is, our writers, and there are hundreds. I just collected all of the names of you guys that have applied to be in our book fair over the years, and it went over 1,000 writers, over 1,000 writers, predominantly Black writers, who have connected to our book fair. I was like, dang, I don't have to go out looking for nobody, no mailing list, because that's right, everybody's here. But what's so dope is here you are as a person who's a patron, who's just visiting, but there's a stage for you to go to be a part of and come. And you don't have to say, write a book and go, now what am I going to do? No, Soulful Chicago Book Fair is here to help you build. So let's talk about your book, A Piece of Cake. Talk about it. Now, what made you write that book? What is it about?
Okay, so the reason why I wrote this book, because I feel that Black people, we always have a story behind our names. We're named because of somebody, something, so far they was, it could be anything. And so I wanted to write a story about the name and how this old man got the nickname Piece of Cake. And it's actually funny because I was kind of told a version of this story from a man that really has that nickname, and I thought it was so interesting. And he told me this story, and of course I'm an author and a writer, so I embellished a little bit, and Piece of Cake was born, and it really tells how he got the nickname Piece of Cake from his mother, how it stayed, and even as an old man with a cane, he is still called Piece of Cake. And he meets a little girl who is very interested in why they call him Piece of Cake. She hears other people in the restaurant. He tells his story, and then she tells her story for how she got her name.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of ends with them sharing that little name story thing. And then he walks out because he comes to this place every day, so he's. It's one of those places where everyone knows him, and now she knows a man named Piece of Cake. And at the back of the book, is I ask kids and everyone who reads it, is what is your name story? How did you get your name? Because it's interesting. I mean, my name is Hope, and I can tell you I didn't meet many of them as a child, many other Hopes. And my father, who is a preacher, a man of God, he said that when I was born, an angel came and whispered in his ear to name me Hope. That was not the name I was supposed to have. But my name story is that the Jessica and Monica that they thought they were choosing became Hope, and now I'm Hope. And so I just wanted to share that story with kids like me, that look like me, so they can start to see where does my name come from? Why did they name me that?
Let me tell you something. Black people be having about five names. I'm going to just tell you straight up. Like, just that's just a thing. now. It's a thing. I work at the Church of Scientology, and I work with all kind of different nationalities. But the black people that work there, sometimes they be having to ask, now, wait a minute, what is it? Especially if they from the nation, it's a rap. My name is Asada X now. But on paper, I might be Asada Kirkley, like, or whatever. So, but names are important, and nicknames, that's something we just do, okay, as a people. And I don't know why we do it, but I feel like it's something in the play and endearment. If somebody give you a nickname, it's usually, it is, right? It's connected to an emotion, pretty much.
It is.
Right? What made you, like, this whole, is there a back story, and you kind of told it, like, in terms of you were supposed to be named something, but you were named another thing. What do you want the book to accomplish for other young people?
Part of what I write for, and I've created a website, and Moments of Hope, is about connecting children and our young people through the story, through what we read. And I feel that even though I know I'm writing primarily for the black and brown child, it is something that I feel that, you know, we all can connect through stories, and every person, black, brown, yellow, has a name story, and that was my idea, was that it will connect us as black people, it will connect us as people across different races, and hopefully through that connection, something that that was mentioned in the Female Solution commercial, that we share love, and Lord knows we need that at this time, and I just feel like all of my stories about just showing love to black people who may not get it, because Piece of Cake is, I think he's 90 years old or something right now, and who will ever tell his story but me? I will, and I'll tell more stories about more of us. Simple stories that in my age range is really for books to be read, so I say 4 to 11. Where you would maybe, if you have a 10 or 11-year-old who's a reader, they could be reading to their younger sibling or a cousin. Mm-hmm. It definitely is not for age grade. They have no interest. They might look at it and be like, oh, it's cute, but it's not. It's not a junior high and high school book. I'm a teacher. I just kind of leapt into this full-time writer thing and said, after 25 plus years in the classroom, it's really time for me to step towards my purpose. And the first person I thought of when I was stepping to my purpose was, I can be in the place. That's how I do it. And I reached out to you, and here I am. And I mean, literally, I stopped working as a teacher March 7th was my last day. And it's March 26th.
Okay, now.
I've really been moving, so.
That's awesome. I'm loving that, not only that actuality, but I love that we could be a part of the choice making. You know what I mean? Like, we are providing an opportunity for you to take that skill and that story and leap into a real place. You don't have to sit with your books in your living room wondering what you're going to do with your books.
Yeah, I thought, okay, I read the book. I self-published. It's on Amazon. But I am now taking this full time, and I got my own website. I really prefer people buy the book from me than Amazon. Amazon gets a lot of the money,
right?
But Amazon also puts you out there, so I love the fact that Amazon has this kind of worldwide reach. I really thought of you first. I mean, it was automatic. It was like, oh, I could be a part of that. I could do that,
awesome.
And now be a part of it, like. You don't understand. Like, I feel more than overjoyed. And I didn't tell you this, but 2 years, almost 3 years after my daughter was born, I was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So I have MS. This has been like having a baby, getting diagnosed, married, writing books. That's what happened. And God has been in every step of the way. And I just thank you for the opportunity, because who thought the little lady with the cane, now I want my cane like Piece of Cake, that she would leave teaching and be sharing her stories. It's so cool.
Look, y'all, God will take care of you if you do what he put in you to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that fear people have, like, I can't leave my job. I got bills to pay. that's you assuming that your gift is not going to get you that, right?
Because, and you know what, Father?
Yeah, go ahead.
If you're scared and you're like, oh, I don't know, God will do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
If you take too long and you procrastinate and you hemming on, God will say, you know what, I need this to happen now. So what you thought you couldn't let go, you don't have a choice.
Baby.
That of God is.
He be making it happen.
Yeah, he made it happen and literally showed up and been showing out.
Mm.
I always have this faith in me, so
mm-hmm.
now it's just like you feel it in your blood. Like now, this right thing is in the blood. It feels very different. And, oh, I'm all right a little bit, but now it's like every day.
Yes, it has to be. It has to be the force, and it has to be you guys need just open up the box, the tunnel vision you have. First of all, doing a book signing, you ain't Tyra, okay? Yeah, look, you're going to have to work to get people to come to that. But your book is about something. And so what if for your book you contacted the International Naming Organization of the Block, you see, or the naming, the book about names, maybe they're part of an organization. And so you start to become a presenter in these different groups.
Wow.
That's all about names. see, that's the type of vibe, right?
Yes.
That's how you're going to make this a bigger thing than just doing a book signing. Book signing is a few people coming through, whatever. But you can have book discussions in the schools with students finding out, what's your name? Hey, my name's John, but they call me Bubba. What's your name? My name, but they call me Titi. Or whatever. It's like, it's such a big thing in our community, and you can have games related to it, and then.
Oh, God, I need to. You just like you. Oof.
Look.
That's all right.
That's the vibe, y'all. And so, that's tell us a little.
I wanted to do that.
That's right. You want to do all of that, and that's how any of you that have a book, your book is about something. Mm-hmm. So whatever that subject matter is, you can take that and go into the world of that, right? Because other people have joined forces to do everything you can think of. Now, tell us a little bit about Moments of Hope, because you all can find her book and its life on Facebook at Moments of Hope. What is that page about?
So my Facebook page, which will also link you to the website, is about my journey. And so I do a blog every week. Every Wednesday, I put a new blog out. And the idea is that I'm going from, like, the educator to the writer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also Black.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also a woman.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a mother and a new wife.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot going on. I just feel like sometimes, for me, getting it out, it's always been so therapeutic. And so now I'm blogging about my experience into this journey as a full writer. And
mm-hmm.
when you go on the page, you'll see all my links and little bits of inspiration from Hope. You'll get the flyers for things I'm going to be a part of, like today and the book fair. So it's really a way that you can keep in touch with me.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also going to... it hasn't come yet. Started to do writing services so that I will write blogs for people if they give me. I will write articles for people if they give me the topic. I'm a great writer, editor. So I'm going to also let Moments of Hope eventually, probably in a few months or so, be where I also advertise my writing services.
Nice. Now, what happens when a person puts their phone over that QR code, their Moments of Hope?
Well, if they put their phone over the QR code, they're going to go straight to, it's going to link them straight to the website.
Nice.
So they'll be able to subscribe, put their email address in, so then I can keep them updated.
Okay.
They'll also be able to read the blog,
mm-hmm.
See the different things, like I told you, that I'll be involved in. They can also order the book, of
mm-hmm.
course.
Okay.
And so all of that, when you do the QR code, you get directly to my website.
Okay, cool. Now, if you all want to call in, the number has been streaming across the screen. That's 727-731-5192. If you have a question, you can definitely call in. Or if you're watching this on Facebook or YouTube, if you put a comment in, we can show that comment and discuss or answer whatever questions you have for any of the authors that you see. So we love the fact that you have, and you're going to get support from us for the fact that you have jumped in to your greatness with Pieces of Cake. And this is the most important question. How does your daughter feel? Is she, like, aware of the fact that you wrote a book? Or come on with that, because I know what that's like.
That I got in the books. I was so happy, and I'm looking at it. And so I say, Hannah, look at what Mommy did. And she looks at it, and she's like, you know, her eyes lit up. And she said, Mommy, I'm so proud of you. She's 5 years old. You know what happened. The ugly crap.
The ugly cry, that's right.
And Boohoo was like, oh, thank you, baby. So she's open. I get emotional just talking about it. It was everything.
Wow. And that's, you know, y'all don't understand. If you have children, people, your children and the people around you really are proud of you. Sometimes we don't know how to express that. Sometimes we're embarrassed to express that. We're not the best when it comes to showing love to each other. Your book is not about you. It's about everybody else around you.
Everybody else.
You hear me? And they get inspired. Like, it was a big deal for my daughter to say, Mommy, I want to do something. I want to make money. She was 7 years old. And it was a big deal for me to have a book already because she was able to, I could duplicate that. Oh, you want a book? I know how to do that. But it was important for her to see me as an example. I wrote something called the Parental Code of Ethics, and one of the lines in the creed is, I will only seek excellence in my child if I am excellent myself, right? And so if you want your child to burgeon into these wonderful things, you just got to be a version of that, period. And so, you know, I was thinking like, oh, what did little mama say about her mama coming out with a book? And guess what she going to do? She's going to see the possibility of that for herself and don't have to wait.
Story. She sits and goes and sits with me and makes up these fantastical stories. I call them the stories that never end. It's like order them. But she's already in that mind of being creative and thinking of stories. And now she learned to read. And, you know, mm-hmm. kindergarten is a big mm-hmm. mind. But, like, I mean, so it's great. And when she said she was proud of me, it meant everything.
Wow. That's no joke. And You might want to record those. Whatever she's talking about, you may want to record them.
I thought about
yeah.
Because she knows that she's young, but she's all into the YouTube. She's like, I could have a channel and tell my stories.
Yo, go viral. You'll be happy. College will be paid for. Everything. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, she might not even do just a book or a book. There's so many other formats. Of storytelling. That's why this is called Gathering of the Griots. We tell our stories. For those who don't know, because I've had a few people recently say, what's a griot? But a griot is a storyteller, guys. It's a person that carries that story on. So this is the Gathering of the Griots. So, yeah, your daughter might do her thing, like she said, through a YouTube channel. Get it right. Get that lighting right. Get that setting done. And that may be.
I got the time now. I'm full time at home writing, so I was thinking of like doing a little corner where she gets to sit and I record her.
Yep.
Your fantastical stories.
What's her name?
Hannah.
Hannah's fantastical stories. Go get it. Go get the URL so her website could be built. Go get it, baby. And because if she's starting at 6. You're going to have a great road. Like you saw, patience was smaller when you met her, but that book was written when she was 7. But her profession right now, extension of that, she's
a professional doing your website. I mean, she's a professional. Mm-hmm. And she was 12. I got 12-year-olds are what I teach. So I teach 7th, 8th grade. I said,
I wish she was in my grade.
Yeah, I mean, and it's something to show even them, like, you do not have to wait till you're an adult to get your idea out there in the world. So go ahead, girl, get her what she needs, get her her little corner, and then you'll start to see, like, the synergy between you two, because you're both creators and you're doing the writing part. She's telling us stories. Once they are on YouTube, she has an option to turn that into a book. This is the book of all those fantastical stories you saw when I was six. You know, it's like, this can run the gamut. You know, she could do workshops for young people who want to tell their stories.
Actually, she just told me she wants to have a channel so she can get subscribers to her channel.
Look.
That's what she told me.
That's right.
She's five. She said, I want subscribers. I'm like, subscribers? But she know all about it.
That's right.
She was born. I didn't give her a phone when she was little, but she know how to use it. I don't know. She know how to use smartphones. And
that's right.
iPads.
That's right.
She move. I don't, girl.
Young people today are not necessarily turning pages. They're swiping. You could watch them just going like this on devices. There was a little boy who had a phone. Yeah, he was about four. Yo, he knew how to slow down videos. Keep them going, repeat. But he not only was four, but he was four and he was autistic. What? Shut up. He was getting it in and doing it. So you guys, as adults, we got to step it up. Step it up so that we match what they're bringing to the table, right? So you guys, if you want to get the book, should they go to Moments of Hope on Facebook, right?
Yeah.
Go to Moments of Hope on Facebook. And they can get to your website from that, right?
Yep.
And that's where y'all can purchase the book. Hope, I think it's great to connect also because you have a journey. And it's other people like you that are like, I want to do this full time. But doing it full time.
The purpose, the truth of the matter is that I knew at 12 years old I wanted to be a writer.
I love it.
But it didn't feel like it's not practical. You got to go to school. You got to go. So I went to school. I got the degree. I got a cut job teaching. So I kind of felt like, I know I want to write. I'll do teaching to get there. Mm-hmm. So I've been kind of on the path, but now I'm on the path.
No
and
doubt.
After no side step, and then go straight. And here we go.
That's right. Y'all don't. And you guys, you're creating the path. And so if you add things onto the path to get to that, that's your choice. Or you could do like her little five-year-old and say, I need subscribers. I want the thing. So, see, she could go. She could skip. I'm not telling her to skip school, but school is not necessarily the conduit to get to the ultimate goal. She could just start it right now. She could do school and all of that, but your purpose in life was your purpose when you came out your mother's womb. And it exists. If a parent is observing, they will see your gift when you're 2 years old, period, because it's there since you're two. And then if the family is watching, you know, do your due diligence, because I know, like, with my daughter, she's played the cello. She went to violin class. She,
I read that.
Right. She went to modeling school. That's right. But I had to just expose her to different things to see which one stuck. But the photography stuck. That was the thing that, yeah, was her passion. And so, you know, I didn't have to wait till she was 20. No, start early so they can then become an adult that perfects the craft that you started when they was two. You know, and that's that game.
Yeah.
So thank you so much, Hope, for being here today. You guys, make sure you come to the Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair, April 20th. Hope will be there with piece of cake. And you can get it signed and buy that book big time. Thank you, babe, for being here.
No problem. I love it.
I look forward to you being at the event. Cool. So you guys, we're going to take a break and come back, and we have a couple more fabulous children's authors of our book fair, but let's give some tribute to our elders, because it's some literary elders that have helped us along the way just make this a big thing in our community, and you know, Black people always respect elders, so let's give it up. Here we go. Right, y'all, we love that, boy. I love them elders big time. And they were, the fact that they believed in us was important. But this is the flyer for the Spring Fling Book Fair, Saturday, April 20th. Put it on your calendars, please, because it's going to be the bomb. It's going to be at Betty Chappaz Academy on 78th and Ellis. You can always go to our website at soulfulchicagobookfair.com. to learn more, but I mean, it's going to be children's activities. It's going to be all kind of genres, over 100 titles, always great food. In terms of the entertainment, oh, yeah, baby, look at them. Big time. We got a sister, Dion Victoria, is going to be doing an art party. I think they're going to be making books at that event, so that's going to be no joke. And then music magic time for our young people. And if you have not seen Sherry Soul, she is a dynamic vocalist. And so that's going to be a wonderful event. But check it out. Maybe you didn't know, but we have a membership program. Did you know that? We actually have a membership program that allows us to give you more of an experience as an author. And what does that mean? We help you increase the literary marketplace, like we said, the sales you make during our events. We have a metaverse where people are selling their books through the metaverse. That's a whole nother story I'll get to in a minute. But book discussions of your books, helping you structure those. Media, making commercials for you. Being here on Gathering of the Griots. Actually having access to the metaverse. If you don't know what a metaverse is, that's where we are digital people going into a world that's simulated to this one and selling black books through it. I do future, y'all, so if y'all don't know, act like you know. Just let me know, and I can definitely help you be a part of that. Then there's the mentoring. We've already been talking about that. We did that last night. We were talking about the racks to have and the what do you do to promote yourself as a writer. And then markdowns. When you become a member, you get discounts on different events, and you get privy to certain opportunities that others don't really get. And so that is what is the deal with our membership program. And here's the deal. I'm going to bring us back. I'm going to bring us back to me, and then we're going to go to, the next beautiful author. Hey, girl, Hope, I'm going to take you out, girl, because you're still there watching. I love you for that. See you shortly. But, yeah, we're going to get into our next author because the book fair, its energy, the excitement, it's about the authors that are there and the energy they're bringing through their writings. And so my next girl, wait a minute now. Oh, Barbara is a she. Look, she might take us to church. I need you to get your tissues. I need you to get some type of girl. Last night we was like, hallelujah. We was talking last night. She was getting it, girl. So we are about to bring in Barbara Hawkins Dixon to the stage. How are you, beautiful? You on mute. Take yourself off mute, girl. Take yourself off mute. Hold on, I'm going to take you off mute myself. Let me see. I think I could do that for you. You try it. You try to bring yourself off mute. While you're doing that, I'm going to put up what you've done. All right. Go ahead. Let me see if I can hear you now.
Can you hear me now?
Boo, 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 boo.
Hello,
boo,
boo, boo, boo, boo.
Hi, beautiful.
Yes.
How are you today?
I'm fine.
Good.
Yes. Such a privilege to be on your platform.
Girl, you my girl. Let me tell y'all, I love the story behind the story. And so I'm going to start. You wrote Mama and Daddy, I Want to Help, right?
Yes.
But why? Why did you write that book?
Well, actually, throughout the years, seeing conflict and, you know, with families, with siblings and jealousy among the kids, I wrote that, you know, so parents can see and to realize that they actually need to get their kids involved during pregnancy, allowing the kids to be a part of the planning when the child is born, so that they won't, when the child is born, they will not feel like they lost their spot in their life. And therefore, it's helping them to know you still have your spot, but you also have a sibling now. Mm-hmm. And so you help with the planning. Where do you think we should put the baby bed? Are you excited about having a sibling?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times, especially with an only child, they tend, to be spoiled, because they used to getting all the attention. So now this attention has to be divided among the siblings.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
you also, it helps them to realize that I'm still special too.
That is important. Let me tell you something. I'm a Scientologist, and we study every aspect of life. But when it comes to children, I was just doing my course the other day, and L. Ron Hubbard was talking about how you got a child who goes to give a plate to their mom. The mom snatches the plate and says, "You might break this," and takes it away and puts it away and continues to do things like that, teaching the young person, you don't have a place. You can't be responsible and do this with us. You might hurt yourself. And they grow up into an adult that has like a void of not being able to contribute, and it started when they were young, not being able to be a part of that. So that message is so important because, our children end up growing up not thinking that they, like you said, what's your role? What's your place in all of this? And so when we take away their place, guess where they go to find a place? in the street. They go somewhere else where people will open up the opportunity for them to have a say. And it might not be a place you like, but that's a place that you created because you didn't make home that place. And so when you wrote that, we talked a little bit last night, so I know that there's a story behind the story. Why? What made you start to write that or to address that issue?
Well, actually, like Hope stated earlier, I knew my calling was to be a writer at a very early age, but I didn't follow the path that God laid for me. I went in my own direction, and so it got to, you know, the turning point for me was in 2021 when I was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and I had to have emergency surgery to have it removed. And I was so blessed and privileged that I'm like, you know, God saved me. So after having the brain surgery, I was actually released from the hospital 3 days after having the surgery. You know, and so it was nothing but God, you know, that brought me through that and brought me through without any character defects. And, yes, with no therapy or anything. So once I made it home, and, you know, and I'm just constantly thanking God, you know, for bringing me through, just because my story is so many other people's story, too. And a lot of them feel like might be going through the same thing and don't, you know, and need, you know, to be inspired that, you know, she made it through it, I can make it through it too.
Nice.
You know, you never know who your story might help. It seems like your story, but so many other millions of people in the world have the same story.
Yep, absolutely.
Yes, and so one day I'm sitting on my couch, and I'm like, God, you talking to God. And I'm like, you have spared me. You have spared me for a reason. It's something that you want me to do. And I said, ask God, what is it that you want me to do? Just reveal it to me. You know, reveal it to me. I'm ready. I'm eager. You have your will. Your will be done. And I looked over on my TV stand. It was a writing pad there and a pen sitting on top of it. And it caught my attention. So I got up out of my chair and went and picked it up and sat back down. And once I sat down with it, I just started writing. And that's how Mom and Daddy, I Want to Help started. And, yeah, and this was less than I published that book. Less than I actually started writing it about 3 weeks after having brain surgery.
Wow. Look at that.
Yes.
Look at that.
After having brain surgery.
Wow.
Yes, I started writing that. And so it was, I had the brain surgery in May of 2021. And by December, I was done writing the book. And, yeah, and it was published in 2022. And so my goal is now that I want to at least write one book a year. One book a year, hopefully more, that I could do three a year. Because now I'm trying to dedicate all of my time into writing. You know, I didn't follow my dream at an early age like I should have, because that's what God had planned for me to do. But I was trying to do things my way instead of the way he wanted me to. And so, yeah, and so even at this age, you know, I used to beat myself up saying, wow, you know, I waited so long to do this. But that's all right. I'm doing it. You're never too old to, you know, to live out your dreams.
Talk about it, baby. You know, we're very similar in that, and it's so interesting because Hope talked about MS. You talked about going through the brain injury, and I didn't write my first book till after I had a stroke. And it's something about almost losing your life that makes you get your purpose on. You be like, okay, wait a minute. You know, it's like I immediately went into a mode of what, you almost left the planet aside, but what legacy did you leave your daughter?
Yeah,
and I was like, dang. And I didn't write the book for that, but it came out of the need to, like, I got to say something because somebody suggested I hit my daughter when I was, had the stroke in my bed, laid out. My daughter ripped up some money. And so the person that was helping to look over us suggested you need to spank her to show her you don't do that. And I'm like, are you bugging? She's 5 years old. Her mama's laid out. So to her, she got to show some level of like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. But anyway, honey, wrote that book, Beating Black Kids, because I saw that even if a person is cultural and all that, kings and queens, if they still talk about beating our kids, that's an issue that needs to be dealt with, and that's how that came out. So the fact that you came out of your experience, and like you, look, it took me 5 months to get that book out, baby. I was look, the idea came in February, and then there was a book fair in New York that was going to be in June or July. And so I had to write it, get it edited, everything, format it, print it, by that date. So if it was July 16th, girl, I got my book to the mail July 15th. Boop! And it ain't never stopped yet. So you got to follow. You got to follow that heart because that's God communicating with you to and just telling you what to do. And all you got to do is follow. Don't think through it. Like you were talking a little bit about how you should have done it earlier in life, but you did it at the perfect time when it was supposed to be done. You know, it wasn't supposed to be done back then because you have a bunch of experiences to match what it is. We have a caller, so I want to take that caller if they're still on. Hold on. 34895, you're on the air. Are you still there?
Three four eight nine five,
are you there?
I'm sorry, it's not on the
show. Oh, call back, baby. When you're not in town, call back. we'll keep it rolling. Go ahead, y'all. We real deal with it. So, we got a message though up here. A sister that said, that's my girl Deborah, says, greetings, Barbara. We applaud you in following your path and providing words to help children and parents. Love it. Go ahead on. Thank you, Deborah.
Thank you so very much.
Yes.
Appreciate it.
Yes. Deborah has a show that airs on Saturday. It might be the second Saturday. Y'all just tune in to this station every day. It's a beautiful person that's going to be giving you a new topic. But thank you, Deborah, for doing that. And then let me see. We got another, another Joyce of yours. She says, I agree, Asada Grand Rising. What a testimony. I appreciated hearing your story. Hearing your story enables me to trust in the relationship with God. Look at that. Look, I told you, you out here inspiring people today. Joyce, you'll have a show on Saturdays as well. Thank you for being here, Joy, and for letting us know that you hear what's being said. So let me ask you a question, Barbara, because I do know that you also, if people wanted to get your book, that it's on Facebook as well, right?
Yeah.
So when y'all go to Facebook, you would go to Barbara Hawkins Dixon Books. And what's on that page? What can they find when they come on that page on Facebook?
What they're on that page, they basically could just find the different books that I have written. I have written three books.
Okay.
And they could find the link where they could order the book, where they, two of them, Mom and Daddy, I Want to Help You.
Mm-hmm.
On it's on Amazon and Barnes and Noble.
Okay.
Yes. And I'm working on getting a website started so they'll be able to order from my website because we know Amazon takes all of your money.
I mean,
Yeah. Money, so I definitely need to get this website
back. You know I build them, baby, so we'll talk, honey. I'll be building them websites for my authors because I know what we need. I know what we want. And, you know, we're not expensive, so we're going to make it happen. Now, let me ask a question about the future of Mom and Daddy. I Want to Help. What do you see? What do you – oh, first of all, somebody asked, what are the other titles of the books that you have?
I have Girls I Made with Sugar and Spice and Everything Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then myself and Darlene Maiman, we co-authored a book, Substance of Building a Healthy Relationship.
Nice. Okay, cool. So when they go to Facebook and they go to Barbara Hawkins Fixing Books, they're going to see all of those.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, perfect, because that's what we want. And y'all don't get it twisted. You know she's going to have them at the book fair. You know you want to bring all those titles. You don't have to sell just one title. You can bring them all. So this
okay.
is, if, that's right. If y'all want to call in, the number is 727-731-5192. Feel free to call in, ask questions. We'll come back to our other caller once he finished doing what he's doing. But, Barbara, and it's funny because the next author to come up is one you work with. Let me ask, because I never found this out, how did you find us? How did you get involved with the Soulful Chicago Book Fair and make the decision to be a part in April?
Yes, well, I went to a book, it wasn't a book fair, it was like a pop-up shop.
Mm-hmm.
And South Shore, I was invited to participate in it. And one of the, I don't know if she was the director of the facility, she told me about you and told me that you, said you are very great and very great to work with, that I should connect with you.
Mm.
Yes, and she gave me the information.
Wow.
She gave me your information, yes.
You never know.
Here I am today.
You never know.
Praise God. Thank God, you know.
Yep.
The path for you to walk through, yes. And so
I love it.
I'm so grateful to be here.
I love it.
Thank you for having me.
Ooh, let me tell y'all. See, that's why you got to live right. Because if you don't live right, it'll be the opposite result. People talking about you like, girl, don't go over there. But when you are living right and you do operate from your heart, and you create something that helps people survive better, you're actually going to get a different result. People are going to support you. And so I am loving that you came to the table, and I'm loving that you wrote this book. When did you write this book? How long has it been out?
Mom and Daddy, I wrote that in 2021, I was still writing it, but it wasn't published until 22.
Oh.
So 25 to 22.
Cool. So what has been, have you been to other festivals? What is the feedback? Like, have you gotten any feedback from other children or parents that want to give this message? Go ahead. Give it to me.
What? Oh, yes. I get plenty of feedback. As a matter of fact, Mama and Daddy, I want to help. It became a bestseller on Amazon. Yes, but newly released. And yes, and so I have that, you know, positive feedback from it. And I have 17 grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And they love it. And I must say, my children are so very proud of me for, you know, living my dream now, seeing me living my dreams now.
Man.
So, you know, and my children are 44, 40, and 36. Yes.
You look good, baby. You look good, baby.
Well,
let's get that. Yes. We actually have another caller, 7737. You're on the air. Let's hear it. How you doing today? I think your name is Lois. Are you there, Lois? I don't know where Lois is today, but it's all right. Her call just dropped. She will call again. We got another message up here. Oh, Vieta, how are you, my love? Grand Rising, what a beautiful soul. Author sharing what we all need to hear. Thanks us. I know that's right.
Yes.
Inspire the world. That's what writers can do.
We all need it.
And that's the thing about writing a book, guys. If you've always wanted to write a book, but you haven't, see, the thing about it, like I said earlier, the book is not about you. It's about everybody in the world around you, right, that's going to benefit from what you have to say. But the biggest part is you can't be everywhere at one time, but your book can. You understand? Your book can travel to Botswana. Your book can travel to the North Dakota. Your book can take the message you have and just go into the world so that your viewpoint and the impact you want to make goes into the world. Now, I want to talk about in a minute, what these 17 grandchildren, what did they think about the fact that grandma got books? What do they say?
Yes, they love it. They love it. Yes. And even the youngest grandkids, they can see my face on the back of the book. And yes, you know, everyone, they just loves it.
Now let me ask. I mean, do you think that this has inspired anybody else in the family to just sit down and make a book? Because they can see it's real now that you've done it. Are you hearing anything? Because doing joint projects with like the kids and the children of your children could be a thing. Now you might want to answer that, but I want to bring back Lois because she's back. 773-977. Go ahead, Lois. You're on the air.
Hi, I was just listening to the program this morning. I joined in late, but I'm enjoying everything. And congratulations to everyone who's written these books and everyone who's trying to write a book. Thank God for everyone. Thank you. God bless.
Look, Dad, Lois, you done put the blessing on us like that.
Thank you.
Lois did the whammy. Boom. Bless you all. Thank you so much, sis. We are happy to be here. I think one of the things that I want to achieve is making sure that these stories get told and that there's a way that the community has access to us. Or else how would you even know that we're here to build up our community and we're doing it through books? So thank you for tuning in and, connecting and blessing us, period. So
yes.
Want to say thank you to you. Now, let me know if the caller 334-895 is back. When he's back, let me know. And in the meantime, Barbara, I really do appreciate you. I want you all, and I'm going to put it back up here, I want you all to go to her Facebook page. If you're not on Facebook, get on Facebook. Stop playing. Look, we all up in there doing our thing. I want y'all to go to Barbara Hawkins Dixon Book and be able to see the books that she's created, because I like the way that sound, that Girl, Sugar, and Spice. What is the title? Say that title again.
Girls I Made with Sugar and Stay Nice.
Now, you better know. And if you out there, girls, you got to live up to that now. We don't want to just say it. You got to really be that. Girls Are Made of Sugar and Spice and Everything Nice. And that sounds like a book that's something that gives sort of a strong sense of femininity. Femininity is so important for us to be able to translate. What is the age group for that that book there?
The age group, I'd say from 6 to 12.
Okay, 6 to 12.
I think under the category of 6 to 12.
Got you. Okay, cool. Well, 334-895 is back. Go ahead, brother. You are on the air. Let's hear it. What's your name? Are you there with us, 334-895? All right, now. I'm there waiting for you now. We can't hear you if you are speaking, but we're going to move on. We're actually going to take a break. I want to thank you again, Sister Barbara. And y'all are going to be, that's right, y'all going to be able to see her, get that book signed, get Mommy and Daddy, I Want to Help. In addition to her other books, you'll be able to get them at the Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair, April 20th. Put that on your calendars. And, honey, be ready for them. Get your pen ready.
Yes, I'm so looking forward to it. Can't wait. So excited.
I love it.
And thanks again for having me.
Absolutely. So we're going to take a break, you guys, but when we come back, we're going to get our last phenomenal author. There'll be more children's authors, but the ones on this show today, these are stellar. So we'll be back. You guys stay tuned.
The heart of the soulful Chicago Book Fair. Come. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation provides programming, training, and literary opportunities for Black-themed writers and their readers while increasing exposure and access to culturally relevant literature in Black communities. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation is built on four pillars. Enhance the Black literary marketplace. Bolster training and marketing for Black writers. Archive Black stories and literary experiences. And foster writing and telling of stories through Black youth. Our signature book fairs have showcased over 350 authors. Still, there are not enough opportunities for Black writers to promote their work. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation helps to enhance the Black literary marketplace and provide avenues for authors to gain exposure and sell their books. Everyone has a story to tell. For those people courageous enough to become authors, we help guide them through the process of building a business around their books. From effectively presenting at events, to maximizing social media.
Learning what Snapchat is, learning what Instagram is, how to use it, how to market to it. So I think that is what made me, I didn't sell out, I think I learned about 80 books, and I sold like 68, so I think that was really, really good.
We offer training and marketing to help Black authors so they can confidently develop fruitful literary careers. Understanding the past allows one to map out the future. We preserve the story behind the storytelling of activists, writers, leaders, and youth in the Black community through state-of-the-art videography. Produced by the media partner of the Soulful Book Fair Foundation, OM Productions International. We transform history into our story.
I purchased my first property at 19 years old, and I have done more than 20 deals since then. I can teach you too. Come visit me at the Soulful Chicago Book Fair.
Children today do not read and write as much as we did in the past. Children today actually read and write more than we used to because they post and text as their primary form of communication. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation creates opportunities for young people to share their stories through special workshops.
Special programs like this usually or always beginning with a lobbying before our day within our BC. He was recruiting enslaved Africans for 5 years in Charleston, South Carolina to take over that city.
Because there was much more wrong races than the southern regions of the U.S.
essay contest validates their young thoughts and creates a platform for their ideas to be taken seriously. We believe that our children would read more if what they read reflected more of who they are. Why not help them be the authors of their own experience?
Well, I started writing things in my journal, and then I started taking writing classes, and I realized I keep the things that go on in my life, and then my book was in my dream.
On these four pillars, enhancing the Black literary marketplace, bolstering training and marketing for Black writers, archiving Black stories and literary experiences, and fostering writing and the telling of stories through Black youth. The Soulful Book Fair Foundation is building a literary movement for the ages that is amplifying the voices of Black authors, poets, and even composers, and creating opportunities for them to share their unique perspectives with millions of literary fans across the city and across the world.
Man, there was a time I'd be crying. I'd be like this. When I played that video, I'd be just messed up, but in a good way. So we are going to go to our next author. Without further ado, I do want to share this comment, though. Joyce said, thanks for sharing your amazing healing and now hearing. You had a stroke. I think that was me that had a stroke, but my girl had the brain situation. You know, we went through our trials and tribulations. But she said, and you wrote, Mama, Daddy, I Want to Help. She said, this title is so embraceable for me. I take that personally and spiritually. Please give how I can purchase this book. So, yep, you want to go to Barbara Hawkins Dixon Books on Facebook, and you will find that. So without further ado, I'm about to bring on a sister who, that girl crazy. She's going to show me late at night her fabulousness. Beyond what we talked about, I said, oh, no, I got to get into this whole world of hers. But we are going to bring on none other than a sister named Darlene Maimon. Let me bring her on. She might come on with Barbara. Hold on. Let me see what we're doing. Yeah, I knew Barbara was going to be there. Girl, you had your chance. That's your good friend, but hold on. We're going to set it out. Hey, how are you, my dear? Can you, let's see if we can hear you. Welcome. How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm loving life. Look, you got a little girl with you. Who that little girl down there
can
with you?
Hear me?
I can hear you. Yes. Good. Can you hear us? Okay, good. Who that little girl sitting there with you, girl?
This is Tatiana.
Hey, Tatiana. Because you guys, as you can see, Darlene Maimon is author of Tatiana Goes to the Zoo. So tell us a little bit about it, because you got dolls and things. I'm going to end up wanting me a dog. Tell us a little bit about that book. Why did you write that?
Well, years ago, I was a preschool teacher at the YMCA, and the children's ages were like from 3 to 5 years old, and we would always make a trip each month, and only place that the kids wanted to go to was to the zoo. They were just so excited about going to the zoo. So I made it maybe twice a month. That's why I would take them, just to see the excitement on their faces. And as we were going through the zoo, they would always ask the question, Ms. Darlene, what does the elephant do? What does a giraffe do? And so that's what actually started the book. But Tatiana, which is my granddaughter, that's where the book came from, who is now 20 today. But when I wrote the book, I wrote this book when she was smaller. And Tatiana wasn't the first book. This is just the second series of Tatiana. The first book was Busy, Busy Tatiana, and which was a true story because Tatiana and her grandfather were really, really close. And Tatiana was at her grandfather's house one night, and she put powder all through the house. And so I wrote that story, and I didn't put that book together, and it was published in, and so from that first year, then I said, Tatiana used to do so much when she was little, and I know Tatiana Love is a zoo, so the second series was Tatiana Go to the Zoo. So that's how my book got started with Tatiana.
Girl, look, them. I'm telling you, your children, I feel, and your grandchildren are put on this planet for you to learn something, right? They be influencing so many stories. I always tell my daughter, would you please write a script? The stuff that happens in her life is so hilarious. And she don't pay me no mind, but, oh, my God, it would be so hilarious. So I'm glad that you did that. Like, you looked at her and what she would do. You said she's 20 now. What does she think about? What does she think about the fact that you took her and made her a subject matter?
She loved it. She didn't actually believe that I remember all the things that she did, especially the part with putting the baby powder through the whole house. I mean, the house was full of baby powder. That was a true story.
What did
she?
And
she was only like 4 years old at the time when she did that.
Lord, what was she trying to do, girl? Was she trying to lay down a road? What was she doing?
Just being busy. That's why I called it Busy, Busy Tatiana.
I love it. And that right there, guys. Imagine how a child feels when they the star of the show. They the star of your book. You know, like you did it for her. So now, but writing a book, why did it, was it you being a teacher that inspired the creation of the book? Like when you said, I need to write more, or how did that work? What is your, did you write it while you were still a teacher so that you were able to share it with them, or how did that go?
I started writing books actually at the age of 11.
Mm.
I was just, and the reason what got me to start writing books at 11, writing books was my comfort zone. Growing up, I was sexual molested by my stepfather.
Mm-hmm.
And my comfort zone was to go in my room and write books. I would get in the corner and do tapping and write books. So that's what started me at the age of 11. But as I got older, it was just a passion for me to write books. So I just continued through the years to write. But I've always taken my books and just throw them inside of the box and put them away. So I guess like when I was like about in my 30s, I just happened to be cleaning because I kept those books all those years in this box, all the paperwork.
Wow.
So in my 30s, I was going through a box and I just took all of these papers and I just threw them across the floor. And I was like, wow, I want all of these books. Let's do something with this.
Mm.
But then again, not listening to what God had for me to do, I threw the books, I threw it back in the box and put it away again. And now when I got in my 60s, that's when I decided to put the book in place.
Man, oh, man. But y'all see, the creator put it in us early. I'm so glad you listened. And I'm so happy that you didn't take them and throw them in the garbage. I'm glad you threw them back in the box because you kept them. Man, that's so important because I did this story when I was in the sixth grade. And it was such a great story. I remember my mother, like, loving it. But when I wrote it, and, you know, you give it to the teacher, and then they grade it, and they give it back. So when my mother came for a conference, she asked for the story. And that lady, Miss Connolly, I'm a fan, she said, oh, I discarded those stories. She threw them all in the trash. So it was like we didn't have them. But look at what Michelle said about your book. She said, oh, what a great story. She said, I like Tatiana. I know that's right. Tatiana got some fans already. And so tell me a little bit about I want to get back to the 20-year-old big old girl feeling about, does she have children yet?
Does she have children yet? No.
Okay, because I was going to say.
No, she doesn't.
Okay, because I was going to say, girl, she gets to give the doggone book to her child and be like, look at mommy. And I think that's a strong thing when you involve your family in that. Now, do you come across any of your students anymore that inspired the story?
No, I want to know. It's been a while because I haven't been teaching school for years now. But
gotcha.
I haven't, but just listening to my grandchildren and watching them, they just love it. Tatiana will be having more series. My goal is to write more stories about Tatiana these are just the first two, but I want to continue to bring more stories from Tatiana.
And this is so important, like what I was saying earlier, to Hope. So there's the Tatiana Goes to the Zoo and you writing that, but then there's the zoo is a place where all kids love it, right? And adults.
Yes.
And so you connecting with these respective zoos that are out there in Nevada and having reading time at the zoo with the children, having the book on sale, like this thing can go way out where you're teaching about animals and you're showing how young people can relate. Like, have you had any plans beyond just selling the book in terms, and we look at Tatiana, because last night we was like, do you sell Tatiana? So we think we might want
actually,
it. What's the future?
Tatiana was just made by a friend of mine from Chicago about 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
She told her I wanted to dial for my book, because the goal is to, as I'm selling the book, have dial to go with it.
Look, y'all playing. Look at Tatiana. Boop, 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 boop. She is crocheted, baby. She is crocheted and waiting for you, honey. She got Afro puffs now, which our girls need to embrace. And so this is something that's huge. Like, we shouldn't take it lightly. When them mothers come to that book fair and see those books up there plus Tatiana sitting up there, you might have to have an order form, baby. Now, be ready to have an order form. They might want to order it because that'll be in August. So you talking about, well, the August one too, but this will be in April. They'll have enough time to get it for the holiday. What? Boop, boop, boop. Get the book and get Tatiana. Now, when you say that there's a series coming or there'll be other books, what are some of the other topics that you're thinking of making for her?
Well, Tatiana has a close connection with her grandfather,
mm.
a real close connection with her grandfather. Mm. And as you can see in the book, this is her grandfather.
I love it. Yep, we can see it.
It's going to be a lot of adventurous things that she does with her grandfather with each of the books that I'm doing.
Nice, because that right there, that's invaluable when young people have a connection to the grandparents. That just it's a whole nother level of experience. Communication, you know, most grandparents don't spank their grandchildren either. So you got a whole nother level of just communication, and that's what we need. They're not stressed out. They already did it. So they're just connecting with the young person.
Yeah.
And I think
I have a great communication with my grandkids. I have six of them.
Mm.
So, and Tatiana was my first one. So that's where the book came from.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it.
I think my other grandkids are getting kind of jealous, like, okay, well, it's five more of us. Did we get a book?
I was going to say that. You better.
What? They do. They do.
They have a book?
I just put another one out, which is called Adventurous Four. And Adventurous Four is for our children, because it's based on famous African-American adventures that the school system don't teach our children when it comes to, you know, the inventions that we have today. They don't tell them the real story, which is so important why I put this book together. Because I never forget when I was in sixth grade, I'm from Chicago, but I'm living in Vegas now. I went to Amos Alonzo Stagg Grammar School.
Okay.
And I remember my sixth grade teacher, it was Black History Month, and we had to write about people, you know. And I was so tired of just hearing about Harriet Tubman, Rosa Parks. So I asked the teacher one day, I said, I know in our history there's more people to talk about than just them two people. Why every Black History Month, these are the only people that we talk about? And I never forget what her girl said. She said, Darlene, it's because the school system only want us to teach you what they feel you should know. But if you feel this way as you're growing up, write that book. And so I'm starting to write that book.
Did you hear that?
That I just put out. This is it. Adventurous. This is the book right here. And the first author, the first inventor in here that I started with this one was Morgan.
Morgan,
the guy that invented
the light, the street light. Garrett Morgan.
Yes.
That's right.
Yes.
Garrett Morgan.
I want to do series of these. I want to make series of these too for our kids there in their history because they're not teaching them what they need to
hear. Girl, in Scientology, right, L. Ron Hubbard said, if you see a problem, look at what you didn't do and know why it's a problem. That's right. Fill the void. If you see that is a void, fill it, right? Take responsibility. Now, let me tell y'all one cotton-picking thing. That's my grandmother's say. Let me tell you one cotton-picking thing. This lady right here, after we have our little rehearsal last night, this and this and that, she's going to start sending me these pictures. And I was like, I can't with her right now. I can't. So I had to make it a part of the show. This child, let me show you what she got. This child got something called I Slay My Craft. Do you see this art with the real hair? Talk a little bit about what you're doing with your craft, girl.
Yes. Actually, it hasn't even been a year since I started this craft. I started putting this together because I did an event at the hospital where I work here, and I put some pictures up on Facebook. And this lady contacted me named Barbara Pohl. She's here in Vegas. And she said, it is something about your pictures. I want to take you to another level.
Mm.
Instead of you doing it this way, try it this way. And since she said that, this is how I'm doing my pictures now. I take pictures and I put the hair and the material and everything to it. Like I buy a canvas already with the face on there, but I take the creation by adding jewelry, hair, and material to it, and this is what I come up with.
Would y'all look at this child with this head wrap? You know I want me that head wrap. She done made the head wrap with yarn. That's like balls of yarn, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful. Look at that work. And then look at this, y'all. Look at, Lord, look how many she got up here. Let me see. Hold on. Oh, Lord. It's so many. And for some reason, they didn't come through. I don't care. What y'all want to see? Do you have this on your Facebook somewhere?
Yes. The page is called I Slay My Craft. So you can see everything that I made. I put on that page.
Oh, I'm going to put it right here. I Slay My Craft. If you're listening to this show and you don't see this art, oh my gosh, please go to Facebook and look at all of the different forms of art she does. She has so many, and I had them all in this presentation. Don't ask me why StreamYard ain't yours, but I'm talking about she got sisters with afros and sisters with braids, and I mean, it's like larger than life. Art.
24 by 36.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, 24 by 36. I Slay My Craft. Y'all have to see that because you just did a phenomenal job with those, and I really congratulate you because, see, now tell me real quick, when did you start doing this art?
I started actually July of last year.
Wow, what?
July of last year.
And it just came
and I just got creative, and I
can't stop. When y'all see this work, I could see why she can't stop. Because the stuff that I had up here to show, yo, she rocked my little world with that. And so when you go to I Slay My Craft on Facebook, you are going to see it. I mean, just beautiful work. And if you're out there and you're a creative, you have to do it. You ain't got to say, oh, I write books, I don't do this, blah, blah, blah. No. Look, the world opened up. What's up, boo? She said, Darlene, that art is gorgeous. Yes, indeed, honey. I mean, so when you feel another part of your creativity come into play, you must do it.
Yes.
Because it's not you. It don't really have nothing to do with you. God is telling you, get up. Go get those balls of yarn and go start making a picture because this is part of your legacy. This is part of what you're going to be known for in the world. Don't nobody care about, you said earlier, you in the 60s. Look, we got people that just start writing at 90, just start painting at 90, and we have to create everything that comes to us. Oh, Michelle said here, she said, Yes, yes. Write those histories, sister. Oh, yeah, they out here. That's right. Take advantage of that. And you all will be able to meet her at the Soulful Chicago Spring Fling Book Fair, where you will be able to see all of this, see these books, buy the books, get them signed. And I'm going to put that, when they go to Facebook, it's Facebook, Busy Busy Tatiana for the book, right? So y'all look at that.
My book, yes.
Go ahead.
The book is also on Amazon. The book is also on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Gotcha.
If you go to Busy Busy Tatiana, you will see all of the books that I have done.
Excellent. So I think that's what y'all can do. Go to Facebook and then go to Busy Busy Tatiana, and then that way you'll see how to access those books. We have a caller at 779-770. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from. 779-770. We listening? Oh, I'm sorry. Look, we be talking. I don't know. I don't know if they be dropping any calls because we be in it, honey. I'll be having to look down like, oh, yeah, she's telling me right now, 779-770. Are they still there or did their call drop? Let me know before we, because we're getting ready to close out. Okay, good. What do you see is the future of what you're doing with Tatiana and those that book series?
Yes, the goal is to continue to write books about Tatiana. The point of this book is sharing the bond between the grandparents and the grandchildren. That is so important. The grandparents play a big part in their grandchildren's life. Mm-hmm. So I just want to continue to make a series for Tatiana and show the love that her and her grandfather have in each of the books and just keep it just flowing.
So important, y'all. Your stories for these books are in you. You were sent to the planet with the experiences that mirror what you could be talking about. It's just that basic. You don't have to look and have a writer's block. It's just in your life. It's in your phone, in them conversations. I actually have a workshop with young people called Phone Book, and I have them write short stories from their text. Yeah, they do. That's what they do all day is text and post. And so, y'all, use your life experience. Is there anything that you want to say to people about what you want to encourage them for going forward, coming from you?
Yes, I want to encourage everyone that's on here. If whatever your dreams and goals are, it doesn't matter how old you are, whatever that dream is, don't feel that because you're at a certain age, you can't set those goals and make them dreams happen. Because I'm a living proof that you can, even at my age. So whatever the dream is, keep it going. Do it. Do it. I just say do it. If that's what you want to do and that's your dream and your goal, you can be successful in doing it.
That's the jam, y'all. Do it. Stop fronting. Don't let fear take you over. Just go ahead because God is trying to get you to start it out. And he's working. He got your back. You don't have to worry about what's not going to happen. You only look at what's going to happen. So thank you so much for being here today, Darlene, and sharing Tatiana with us. She will be at the 2024 Soulful Chicago, I was going to say holiday, Spring Fling Book Fair. That's later in the year. But that's going to be at Betty Shabazz International Schools on 7823 South Ellis. Thank you, baby. Thanks for being here, Darlene. And we are going to come to a close. So I do want to remind you guys, I'm going to put up that one more again, that flyer for the event. There it is. And all y'all got to do is put that on your calendar, okay? So go ahead. And like I said, Saturday, April 20th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., be there. We're going to have entertainment and great things all day long. But I do want to say thank y'all for being here today. Be here with us next Tuesday for Gathering of the Griots, where we'll have more. We're going to feature the fiction authors next week, and boy, they got such great stories and such great energy. So thank y'all for being here. Don't forget, we have a membership program that you could be a part of. All you got to do is go to soulfulchicagobookfair.com/membership and go ahead and become a part. Or if you want to donate, we love that too. Go to soulfulbookfairfoundation.org/donate. All right? Have a great day, and we love you.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Bye, y'all.